This recording is provided by Christian Missionary Fellowship International, Boston. You're welcome to make free distribution to friends. However, all for-profit distribution is a violation of existing copyright and other applicable laws. For more information about our churches, visit www.cmfiboston.org.
Praise God. We're thinking about what to share, and just, there were different things that I was thinking about. I mean, for the recent past, I mean, you know, in our house church, we're just going chapter by chapter, so this is a little bit different where I need to actually decide what I was going to share on, and I spent some time praying, and I believe that what I'm going to share today is what God wants to share, wants me to share, and my hope is that the Spirit of God will speak to us. The title that for my teaching today is I've been called the champion. So today, the thing that I want to talk to us, the body of Christ, about is faith. It's actually what I'm going to be sharing on today. It's also tomorrow, if God permits, the time that's allowed for me tomorrow, I'm going to be also sharing on faith again, tomorrow. One of the things that I think, especially for me, I mean, as I look at Christianity, especially Christianity in the United States, one of the things that I really, it's hard for me to really kind of avoid is the fact that there's very little faith in the church today. But things in the United States, it's really easy for us to hide the fact so we have little or no faith. And I'll give kind of an analogy. If you look at me, I'm a pretty, I mean, I'm not super thin, but I'm fairly thin. Like, you wouldn't look at me and say, okay, Sony's out of shape. It's only if, you know, if you saw me take a box and carry it up the stairs and I start huffing and puffing, then you'll think to yourself, oh man, Tony really is out of shape. And why is that? Why is it that you can't tell right now that I'm out of shape? It's because in no physical way am I exerting myself. It's only if I can't come to a place where I have to physically exert myself that you'll see that I really am out of shape. And so it is when it comes to faith, is that the only way that you know that someone has no faith or very little faith is if that person is forced to exert that faith. In the United States, most of us can hide the fact that we have no or very little faith. I mean, the truth is that we can say that Jesus is the Son of God. There's no consequence if we tell someone that Jesus is the Son of God and we believe that. You know, if we are hungry, we can take out our credit cards. We don't really need faith to feed ourselves. If our children are sick, I mean, we have some of the best hospitals in the world around us. We can go to the best doctors. We don't need to have faith when our children are sick. And so for most of us as children of God, we can really hide the fact that we are a faithless generation. And one of the things that I want to really share with us today is that there's no way that we would have known that the people of Israel were people that had no faith except for the wilderness. It was the wilderness that revealed to us that the people, the children of Israel, had no faith. And so this is one of the things that I wonder, even especially Christians in the United States, this is one of the things I wonder, if you were to take Christians in the United States today and put us, forget, and we do a replacement, we forget about the people of Israel, we take Christians today and we put them in the wilderness. We take all of us, we put all of us in the wilderness. I wonder how many of us will enter into the promised land. I would argue very few of us. This is a big deal. Why? Because this is a chapter that I'm going to kind of look at today. If you look at Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, and we're going to be looking at Hebrews chapter 11 today, but Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, it says that, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. That's what the Word of God says. The Word of God is saying that it doesn't matter how much spiritual exercises you do, how much time you spend praying, it doesn't matter how much time you're reading the Word, how many good acts that you do in life. If you're a person that does not have faith, there is no possibility for you to in any way please God. But one of the things that about the wilderness is that the wilderness revealed the multitude of people who were deficient and lacking in faith. But what was special about the wilderness is that it also revealed the few that were abundant in faith. We would never know how much faith men like Joshua and Caleb had if it wasn't for the wilderness. It was a wilderness experience that on one side revealed how little faith a multitude had, but at the same time, on the other side, revealed the abundance and the wealth of faith that a few had before God. And when you look at Hebrews chapter 11, it is called, often is called the Faith Hall of Fame. And that's what a lot of pastors, that's what a lot of people refer to Hebrews chapter 11. They refer to it as the Faith Hall of Fame. And the experiences of the characters are different. But all the characters that are described in the book of Hebrews in chapter 11, they all had different wilderness experiences. None of them were identical. The wilderness experience that each of the men had were different. But what in each situation, this is why they make it to the Faith Hall of Fame, what the wilderness experience revealed in each of the characters that are mentioned here is that they were all abundant in faith. The situations were different, the wilderness experience were different, but they were all had one thing in common. They all were abundant in faith, and the wilderness experiences of their life revealed it. And the thing about Hebrews chapter 12 is that when you read it, the thing that you see is that it goes from one character to another. And when you're reading it, it's building up. It's building up. It's building up. It's going from faith, and each person that's described, it's starting to build up. And then you come to Hebrews chapter 12, where finally the champion of faith is revealed, the Son of God. The wilderness experience that the Son of God had, the pain of his wilderness experience was more painful, was worse than all those who came before him. But on the cross, the Son of God reveals to the world, when it comes to faith, that he had no equal, that there were none that ever came before him or will come after him that had the faith that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, had. And so it is all a building up till that champion is revealed. I just want to look at Hebrews chapter 12 a little bit, and then, 11, and then just build a little bit to Hebrews chapter 12. So verse 13, I just want to read just a few verses. On verse 13, it says, all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them from afar, far off, were assured of them. This is one of the things that faith does. It gives you a supernatural vision. One of the things that faith does is that it gives you a supernatural vision. You will begin to see things that no one else sees. You will begin to see things that no one else sees. But the opposite is also true. The opposite is also true, that if you're a person that lacks faith, it is spiritual terms. It is the same as a person who is blind. you know, for me, a person who can see, if I go to a room and it's not that bright, if I turn the light up a little bit, I'll probably be able to see a little bit better, right? But if a person is blind, it doesn't matter how bright you make the light, he will never see. It doesn't matter how bright you make the light, he will never see. And this is what we see with the people of Israel. The things that they saw in their lives was one sign after another. God was revealing himself. One sign after another. Powerful ways in which God was revealing himself. But in the end, it made no difference. Absolutely no difference in their destiny at all. Because it is, when you have no faith, it is as though you are blind. No matter how bright you make the light, there is no possibility that you're going to see any better. I want to just read verses 14 to 16. It says that, "For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they are called to mind their country from which they have come out, they would have opportunity to return. But they desire, but now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Or did men like Abraham, or did they return to their countries? The word of God in Hebrew says, because men like Abraham desired a better country." And then if you read in verse, the same chapter, verse 26, it talks about Moses. It says, "Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt, for he looked to the reward." Why didn't Moses partake of the riches of Egypt? It was all there for him. But why didn't he partake of it? Hebrews says that Moses desired a greater reward. Moses desired a greater reward. Men like Abraham desired a better country, so they wouldn't go back because they desired something better. And that is what the essence of what it means to have faith. It is believing that God offers to us something better than the world offers to us. So I know some of us are fading, so someone can read Exodus chapter 16, verse 3. Exodus 16, verse 3. Okay, praise God.
"And the children of Israel said unto them, Woe to God, we have died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh of, when we did eat bread to the full. For you have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly."
Praise God. Someone can also read Numbers chapter 11, 5 and 6.
I'll read.
Praise God.
Numbers 11, 5 to 6. "We remember the fish we ate in Egypt at no cost. Also the cucumbers, melons, leeks, onions, and garlic. But now we have lost our appetite. We never see anything but this manna."
This is the reason why the children of Israel never entered into the promised land. Because they believed that Egypt offered them something better than God. They said, "Oh, when we were in Egypt, we had all these things. Now we have none of them." They believed that Egypt offered them something better than God. And this is one of the things that, even as I was just a little bit younger, I used to just watch most people, most Christians. I feel like the majority of Christians, you can break them down into three things. There's three things that, for sure it's men, and maybe I watch men, maybe women are like this, but most men I watch, there's three things that I saw that they were looking for. They were looking to go as far in their careers as possible. They were looking to come to church once a week. And they were looking to live as comfortable a life as possible. And I remember when I was younger, I used to just really feel burdened, and I wanted to go to these people and say, don't you know that God offers you so much more than this? But then one day I finally realized the truth. They don't want anything more. They're content with Egypt. They don't want anything more. They're content with Egypt. I just want to read verse 36 of the same chapter, describing those of the Hall of Faith. It says, of whom the world was not worthy. This is ultimately what the Word of God says, is that those who find this world worthy are only worthy of this world. But those who find only God worthy, this world is not worthy of them. And this is the reason that God is preparing something better for them, because there is nothing in this world that is worthy of them. So if you are a generation, if you are a people that finds this world worthy, if we are satisfied in this world like the people of Israel were satisfied with Egypt, it probably means that you're going to receive nothing more than this world. So that's the question that I want to ask you guys today. Are you content with this world? And really just ask yourself sincerely, are you content with this world? Or do you want God to give you something more? Because one of the things that is revealed in the Hall of Faith and the people that were in this Faith Hall of Fame is that they weren't bums. When you look at men like Joseph that it's described in, I believe it's described in 22. Men like Joseph, he attained, these weren't bums. Joseph attained as much wealth, as much power, and as much fame as it is possible for a man to attain in this world. These weren't the scrums or the bumps of this world. Many of the men that were described here, men like Moses, were those who were sons and considered sons of the king. But what was one of the last things that Joseph said to his brethren? He says, God will one day visit you. No matter what, do not leave my bones in Egypt. No matter what you do, do not leave my bones in Egypt. He had partaken of all that was possible to partake in this world, but he wasn't satisfied. He said, this cannot be all that God is offering to me. He is saying that there must be something more, and one day God will offer something more, and when that day comes, you take me there, because even if I'm dead, I want my bones to feel that land. I'm not satisfied with this. I'm not satisfied with Egypt. I'm not satisfied with this world. I believe that a day will come when God will offer us something better. And if it's only my bones that feel it, I want to feel it. And that's a very sad thing, that many of the people that were alive, the people of Israel never entered into the promised land. A dead man entered into the promised land because he knew that God offered him something more than this world, and he was not satisfied with this world. And just from a practical point, I've said this multiple times, and I will say it again. Well, and if we are struggling with our time with God, and if we're struggling to read our Bibles, if we're struggling to go into the presence of God, you will never have victory until the day comes that you believe that God offers you something better. As long as you believe that that TV or that Kindle or that iPad offers you something better than God, you will never have victory in that area. You will only have victory on the day when you have in your heart, you believe that if you were right now to go into the presence of God, that he will give you something better than what this world can give. That's the practical point that I want to make. And I'm just going to conclude now. I want to conclude with the champion of faith, Jesus Christ. So I just want to read Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. It says of Jesus Christ, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And so, I asked the questions before, Abraham and Moses, so finally I asked the question of the Son of God himself, why was he able to endure the cross? Why was he able to endure the cross? It is because he believed that even in a cross, that God offered him something better. This is the reason that he was able to endure the cross, that even in a cross, he believed that God offered him something better. And ultimately, what is that better that he believed that God offered him? Throughout the faith, we know that it is us. That was what was better. That was what he didn't have. That he went upon the cross because he was going to attain something he didn't have. And he believed that God was going to give him something that he didn't have. And the writer of Hebrews says the only way he was able to endure the cross is for the joy that was set before him. He believed that in the cross that God would give him something better. Do you and I believe that? That God offers us something better. As we are here this weekend, you and I believe that during this time that God will offer to us something better. If not, we're going to be like the people of Israel. We're going to go in a circle and go back home having wasted our time and our money. But if there are a few of us, and it may not be all of us, but if there are a few of us that today, as we're going to conclude, are saying, I believe that God is offering me something better. I believe that God is going to reveal himself. And the last word of encouragement that I want to give to us, you know, if we are a generation that lacks faith, just from this verse, if we're a generation that lacks faith, is the word of encouragement that I want to say as I conclude, that it says in that verse, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. And that's a very special thing about faith. That even faith is a product of grace. Because even in John chapter 3, as Jesus is talking to Nicodemus, before he says, whoever believes, he says, the wind blows. The wind blows, and then it's whosoever believes. And the reason that someone believes is because there is a wind that is first blowing. It is the wind of the Spirit of God. And so today, if you're here, and if you're examining yourself, and you look at yourself, and you say, I'm not numbered with Caleb and Joshua. The Word of God says that Jesus is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And today, if you're lacking faith, and you know that you lack faith, you don't believe that God offers you anything better, you're so chasing the things of this world because you think the world offers you something better than God, you get on your knees and you pray to God and say, God, I pray that you would give me the faith of your Son. I know that the Spirit of God will come because the Word of God says that even faith has been grace. And the Spirit of God will come and give you the faith, not the faith that was in Moses, but the faith that was in Abraham. He will give you the faith that was in the champion of faith, the Son of God. Praise God.